Well, if you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, wonderful to see a packed house tonight, this morning. I hope to see one tonight. We got Vision Night coming up, and want to encourage you to please make plans. In fact, I'm going to try to not be very long this morning to try to maybe motivate you to come back. I don't know if it'll work. But just got some really special things that I want to share with you, with our church family and guests too. All are invited. In fact, I encourage you as a guest, tonight would be a wonderful night to come because I'm going to be basically sharing my heart and vision for the year of 2018. And when I say vision, I don't mean a new revelation. I simply mean some things that I believe God is leading us to do as a church. Together as a church, encouragement, and also evangelism, reaching out to our community. And so it's going to be a very, very special time. And if you want to know what we're about, tonight would be a wonderful time to come because we'll be revealing some special things that I want everybody in this room to be a part of. And so I trust that the Lord will lead us in that. Well, I hope everyone's getting most of their Christmas decorations down by now. If you're like me, you still got a few lingering decor laying around. And, you know, I like Christmas so much, it wouldn't hurt my feelings if we just at least left some things up all year, you know. And I like the philosophy that, hey, for as far as the Christmas lights are concerned, let's just put them out on the bushes and we'll light up things. And, hey, let's just leave them on all year and then next year we'll plug them right back in. Nothing wrong with that, but the sad thing is they usually do not work the next year. But those Christmas lights, I'll tell you. Now, by the way, and then I'm going to move on. Now's the time to buy your Christmas decor, amen? All right, so you go to Big Lots or wherever, and they got those lights marked down like 50-75%, and they're usually all the really ugly ones, but that's okay. You just get them anyway, and you can get tackiest house of the year with your Christmas lights. But, hey, if it's cheap, it's good, okay? And if you like my wife, she can pinch a penny. My wife is Dutch. Did y'all know that? Not 100%. And but she's a blessing. She knows how to be frugal. And she helps balance me. You know, she has got that blessing from her father, who's 100% Dutch. So she's 50%. And I say, honey, I'm so thankful that you are only half Dutch, okay? Amen. But praise the Lord. It was a wonderful Christmas. I'm glad to see everybody back, most of everyone from traveling. I hope everybody was able to just see some family you hadn't seen in a while and just be an encouragement. And now we're at it again for the new year. Thank you for all those that participated in our New Year's Eve service. We had a blessed time. I think, did we get those testimonies recorded? Does anybody know if we were recording those? I'm not sure. We can find out. But it was an encouraging time, and we had a wonderful time of fellowship afterwards. And looking forward to doing that again. And we'll see how the Lord leads in the future. But appreciate all those that helped out with that and just made it such an enjoyable time. And praise the Lord for that. Well, here we are, 2018, the first week. Is anybody surprised how fast the first week has gone by? I mean, really, here we are at the end of the first week on the 7th of January. And boy, it is gone by already so quickly. And I just want to bring some thoughts this morning and in reference to approaching and going into year 2018. And the mindset that we have and the things that God has planned for us as a church, as individuals, as families, what God has in store for each of us. It's going to be wonderful. We'll look here first and then I'll get into the message. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Paul writes here to the church in Corinth and says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. I'm going to read that verse again. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. I tell you what, folks, God's got some wonderful things prepared for us. Some things that if prepared for us, if we will see what He says here at the end, for them that love Him. And as we approach 2018, I'm going to talk about some ways that we can love Him with our attitude, our outlook on 2018, and to be able to understand that God's got some wonderful things prepared for us. Let's pray together. Father, we commit this message to You. I do ask that You would use it, Lord, in every heart present, every teenager, every adult, every young at heart, every family, every person. God, please, Holy Spirit, will You take the truths of Your Word and make the application in the hearts of the people here and in my heart. And Lord, may this strengthen us as we press forward in 2018. And we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We sometimes don't have a clue of what's ahead in the coming years. We know that there are trials, most definitely. We know that there are blessings to come, most definitely. But you know, the truth is, we all are facing the unseen of 2018. Nobody knows exactly what's going to take place. These are things that are in God's hands. And we can't stress ourselves out trying to figure out all that is going to happen. But I can tell you what we can do, church. We can make sure our attitude is ready to face whatever comes our way. And as we were singing and worshiping even this morning in the songs with the Spirit of Lord, we just want to be ready. We just want to trust You. We just want to depend upon You. And I'd like to suggest three ways that we should approach 2018. And I would say number one, without a doubt, and I see it right here in this passage in the heart of Paul as he is describing, look, you eyes have not even been able to see and ears have not even been able to hear what God has prepared. And this is not talking about heaven, although you can make the application of heaven and talk about the glories of heaven and the blessings of heaven and the blessings of eternity. But folks, in the context of this passage, he's talking about now. If you continue reading, he starts talking about the Spirit of God revealing those things that He has prepared for us here on earth. And so we see here that God has got some special things prepared for us, but are we ready for them? Well, I want us to suggest to you, number one, that the attitude that I believe should be at the forefront of going into 2018 is an attitude of being hopeful. Just simply being hopeful. Full of hope. You know, the Word of God says a lot about hope. I read in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, who Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, you understand that statement. You ought to underline that in your Bible, if you don't already, if you make it a habit of underlining your Bible. Simply this, who against hope, believed in hope. You know, let's be honest. We are all in situations where we are in a scenario where we are against hope. It just seems like it's hopeless. But even in those situations, the Word of God says Abraham believed in hope. And it goes on to say that he staggered not at the promises of God. I believe that the Lord will bless us as we approach this year, just being full of hope. Full of hope. What do you mean by that, Pastor? What does that look like? Believing that God is going to do some wonderful things in your life. Believing that you're going to be making life-changing decisions this year. Believing that God's going to give you some direction that you have been waiting on.
some answers to prayer that you've been praying for and waiting upon. He's going to be doing some wonderful things, and God wants us to go into this year hopeful that He's going to do them. Now listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 24 through 26. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? And you see what God is wanting us to do. He's not wanting to say, okay, I'll let you see it and then you hope. No, that makes no sense. God wants us to be looking to Him in complete confidence that He is going to work. And then He will bring that which we have been hoping for and longing for. He says here, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I believe this idea of hope is very much a cousin or a sibling, if you will, to just simply the word faith. It's simply taking God at His word that God is who He says He is and that He's going to do what He says He'll do. And the promises of God are throughout all the Scripture. And even as we look at the New Testament and look after promise after promise after promise, you know what we do, folks? We claim it with hope that God's going to fulfill it in and through us. Listen to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope, the God of hope. Listen, our God, the God of the Bible, is a God of hope. And listen, my dear friends, if I just can encourage you this morning, that if we could just be so filled with the Holy Spirit that we are just filled with hope. Hope is on the horizon. You may not be able to see it, my dear friends, but that's okay according to the Word of God. Because if you can see it, the hope ceases. God wants us to have hope today for things we cannot see. Things that are afar off. You know, when I was in the Coast Guard, when I was on the ship out in the Caribbean, we did these patrols. And man, I tell you, you get out there in the middle of nowhere, you can't see anything but water. Sitting up on that bridge, looking out, you can only see the horizon all the way around. And down below, they'd say, now look, there's a ship coming up. Of course, they got that nice radar down there, and they can see things for miles and miles away. I can't see it. But I have to take their word for it, that it is coming. I can't see it at the time. And you know, many things in life, you can't see what's on the horizon. You can't see quite what's coming. But if we will simply take heed to the Word of God, He will get us to where we need to go. He'll let us know exactly what we need to see when the time comes. It's a hope that we have. A hope for the future. You know, I hope this morning that you have hope for the future. Not only for your eternal security, if there's someone here and you would say, well, Pastor, to be honest with you, I don't have complete hope for the eternity. There's a little bit of doubt in my mind and heart whether I will spend eternity in heaven. But can I tell you, God wants to have you to have 100% hope. 100% hope. Full confidence. Not, well, I might get there. Or it's a possibility, or maybe, well, I'm pretty sure, my friend, eternity is way too long to be wrong. You can have full hope from the Holy Spirit, who will bear witness with your spirit that you are the children of God, whereby you may cry, Abba, Father. Which is basically, if you want to bring it down onto our terms, what we use is in the English language is Daddy. Daddy! You cry out to the Father because you have that desire given to you by the Holy Spirit and given you the right. There's a hope. Listen to Hebrews 11:1, probably the most famous verse on faith in the Word of God. Now, faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. That's faith. We can't see it. It hadn't happened yet, but bless God, we're hoping. And we're trusting the Lord God to do a miracle. I'm telling you right now, the Lord is so pleased when we come to Him with that kind of faith. The Word of God goes on to say the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Listen, I know, are we all not facing some mountains in our life? I mean, you're looking at it and you're saying, I just don't know how that mountain is going to be overcome. You're looking at a valley, maybe. You're in a valley, maybe. And you're like, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. You know what? You need hope. Hope that God prescribes in His Word that if we will simply look to Him and trust that He will bring us through even what we can't see, God wants to do miracles in our life. You're needing a miracle. I'm needing a miracle in different parts of our life. People we know, our own lives. You need a miracle. Well, can I ask you today, what do you think about that miracle? What are you thinking about that mountain? Have you given up on it? Have I? Oh, my dear friends, God hadn't given up. God's right there. He's hearing our cries. He's hearing our prayers. And He's working. He's working. And possibilities. Can you think of anything in your life where you just, it seemed from a human standpoint, it looked like an impossibility? Can you think of things like that? Think about them. What is your attitude towards them? Have you lost hope? I want to encourage you, get it back. Let your attitude be that, God, I am trusting You to work in this situation. Even if you're not seeing the answers. Now listen, let's be honest. That's where we get discouraged in our human spirit. We say, boy, I've been praying for this. Lord, You know I've been praying for a long time for this. And I haven't seen that prayer answered. And we can get discouraged. And we can lose hope. As the Word of God would say, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Folks, let me share something personal with you. My great-grandmother Kirby, was a godly woman. And she passed away, went to be with the Lord when I believe I was about 11 years old. It's in 1991. She was a godly woman, and I've realized that more and more as I live, because my grandmother, her daughter, has passed, and I got a couple of the Bibles, and boy, her notes and the things that she wrote in the cover. I even got some Bibles of my dad that were given to my dad from my great grandmother, and John 3:16 written in it. She was a godly woman. I didn't realize it to that degree because I didn't get saved until I was 21. But let me tell you something. I believe with all my heart, I believe this, folks. I believe that my great-grandmother prayed for my salvation. I didn't get saved until I was 21. She was already in glory 10 years. She had already been in glory 10 years. But I believe that my cousin Sonny, who I've shared my testimony with, she got saved just about 5 years ago, and that was also one of her grandchildren and others. And I think about that. My great-grandmother, who saw probably our lives and saw the things that we were going through, and that we didn't really have any interest in the things of God, and we really didn't care about Jesus Christ. And yes, we'll celebrate Christmas and do all this, but we didn't really care. But oh my, you know what? God answered her prayer. And reached down and saved a hell-bound sinner like me at the age of 21. And since then, I've surrendered to God completely. Then God called me to preach. God called me to the mission field. Went to Africa and served there. Now I'm back here in this wonderful place, pastoring this wonderful church. And all, I believe, all in many ways are due to people like my great-grandmother who prayed for me. God never let her see it. But friends, can I ask you something? Are you willing to just keep on hoping whether you see it or not? Because the moment you see it, the hope ceases. Let the hope guide you in your attitude. Brother Dan Bachman and Brother Mike Swafford, we were at the Potter's House this morning with the chapel hour. And God worked it out in His providence for us to be able to hear a man that had been through the program. He had been there about 4 years ago. Since then, God has given him some real victory, and God has called him to minister, and he brought the message this morning. This man was 50 years old. This man had spent 30 years of his life on drugs and alcohol. He had 15 felonies. He'd been in and out of jail nearly 20 times. In and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. He'd been shot 4 times and survived it. He was given all these testimonies, and for 30 years that was his life. He was a vicious cycle, a drug addict, a drunk. He was all of those things, and for 30 years... You can only imagine some of the people like his mother that were praying for him and thinking about him. And oh, my friends, just here recently, just 5 years ago when he was in jail, he went to that Bible, and some people call it jailhouse religion. I know that does happen, but I want to tell you, he got into the Word of God and he realized that he was on the wrong path. And through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, after 30 years of just mess, just nastiness, vileness, God convicted him and drew him, and he got born again. Now everybody around him had given up on him. That man's not worth anything. He's a nuisance to society. Do away with him. I'm glad God doesn't do away with him. But I'm glad God, in His mercy and grace, there came a time where he did get under conviction and God saved his soul. Oh, my dear friends, I don't know. There seems some situation in our lives where we're tempted to lose hope. But my friends, don't lose hope in the God of glory. God can work miracles. We learned in Sunday school class, those disciples said, well, Jesus, if rich men can't be, if it's easier for a camel to pass through a needle, then Jesus, who then in the world can be saved? I love his response. He said, look, with men this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. What does that say to us this morning? I believe the Lord is saying, I don't care what you're facing, what you're looking at in your life and your situation, what your struggle is, I can do something about it. And I trust that we will heed and listen to what He's saying. And that brings me to my next point. We see that our attitude of being hopeful, full of faith, full of hope, but then we need to be heedful. Heedful. That word simply means to beware or to be attentive, to be ready to heed, whether it be a need around us or a danger or whatever it may be. I'm telling you, friends, we need to be heedful going into 2018. What does that mean for me? What does that mean for you? I tell you what, as we go in and as we understand, we're being hopeful. But you know, another thing we need to be is we need to be heedful. And that simply means to be attentive of what's going on around us. Sometimes we get in our bubbles, don't we? Do we not? Everything in my life is basically that's it. And I lose my sensitivity of what's going on around me. Perhaps even as close as my own wife. Or my own children. Perhaps it's that close where I just lose sight. And I believe that if we'll go in with an attitude in 2018, it will help us tremendously of being heedful and being aware, attentive to the needs around us. Now that word, take heed, is used many times through the Word of God, dozens of times. It's used in different ways. The Greek word is blepo, and it's been used as see, means used as look. It means beware, be aware. It's also used and just behold. And so different ways is the idea of just being simply sensitive to the things that are going around you. Now, can I say, first of all, let's be attentive to the good things. Well, I always talk about, well, you need to beware. That's true. But it's also used in the sense, hey, let's be attentive to what God is doing, how God is working. I'm so thankful that the Lord is working in our church. I'm so thankful that He's working in our lives. And we need to be thankful for that and attentive to that. What has God done in your life recently to to where you can simply say, oh God, thank you for what you're doing and what you have done. I'm thankful for that. We need to be aware and be attentive of what's going on. And as you read through the Word of God there in our text, you know, look there in verse 10. Paul even said, now listen, after he's got these things prepared, he says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And it goes on to talk about how the Spirit of God will make us aware of those type of things around us. The spiritual needs of others. You know, I trust that the Lord will help us to be heedful people. Not only hopeful, but just aware of what's going on. You know, sometimes we find out about situations in our church or different families, and you ask yourself, well, man, if I would have known, I would have done something. And that's true. And what can help is that just being attentive, not being a gossip, not overstepping your boundaries. I'm not talking about that type, but just being aware of what's happening in our life, what God is doing. But that context is also used about false teachers. Be heedful and attentive that can creep in very easily. False teaching. Temptations. It's also used in the context of temptations. Being vigilant. Being aware of your surroundings. That is something we can totally be, is to be heedful, to be hopeful. You know, we need to be heedful so that we can be helpful. That's my next point. We need to be helpful. So we see that we need to be hopeful. We need to be heedful. But we also need to be helpful. How do we become helpful people in 2018? Well, I know this is deep, but by helping. We just need to be helpers, folks. We need to be helpers. As you hear of needs in your own family or in the church or of a coworker, of a family member, you hear of a need, let those antennas go up and then let that turn into being helpful. I love it when you're in situations and you have someone that's so polite, whether it be in a store of some sort or market, whatever, wherever you be, restaurant. And it's this question is, sir, how can I help you? How can I help you? And God wants us to have that same spirit as His children. He wants us to ask that question to each other. How can I help you? How can I be a help to you today? You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 16, the Word of God says that ye submit yourselves unto such and to everyone, get this, that helpeth with us and laboreth. Now that word helpeth there is an interesting word. In the Greek, it's synergeo. And that soon simply means together. That's the first part of the Greek word. But the next part, Ernego, is where we get our English word energy. You know what that word is saying right there when it says helpeth? It means come together to give forth some energy. To give some push. To give some help. And Lord knows we all have times of that, do we not? And it's the idea of coming alongside someone and giving them that word of encouragement. Maybe that push. Maybe that hope. That maybe there is a chance. Maybe I can do this. Oh man, I tell you here that it's talking about just simply being helpful. Being a partner together in laboring to put forth power. Together where we can assist. You know, I think it would help our church and I think it would help our families tremendously if we can learn to be helping people. Fathers, let me address you for a moment. Husbands, do you ever offer to help your wife. One of the things I know, there's different love languages. That book is the five love languages, and there's different ones. And I know, but I could tell that one of Joanna's love languages is I'm finding that, and I have not conquered it. Boy, y'all pray for me. I need help. But I'm figuring out that if I come inside the house and she's had kids all day hanging from who knows what, if I make a comment, honey, is there anything I can help you with? I can see her countenance. I can just see the effect it has on her by me just making a comment of, honey, how can I help you? Now, I wish I could say that I'm an A student in that area. A lot of times I've come in, honey, why are their clothes still on the couch? Now, that's not a good idea, man. What Brinson Jennings should do if he sees clothes on the couch is, honey, can I help you fold these clothes? I'm telling you right now, you want a wife that we talk about submission? Hey, you do that kind of stuff, their submission won't be a problem for your wife. Because she sees what? That you want to help her. And you want to honor her. By the way, that is, I don't have time to go into it, but in 1 Peter, where it talks about the husbands honoring the wives, that is such an interesting, again, word there. Time is the Greek word. If you transliterate that, do you know what that spells in English? Time. T-I-M-E. And I want to tell you something. Let's just be honest here, husbands and fathers. One of the greatest ways that you can help your family is to spend time with them. Purposeful, deliberate, quality time. And let's be honest, husbands, not when you just need your physical needs fulfilled. It is when you can spend deliberate time with your family or with your wife, and whether it be a special date or whether it just be at the house just talking or whether it be with the children and just spending some deliberate time with them, you can help your family. We can help each other in that. And that is something I trust that God will help us as husbands to do in the new year, to help our wives and to help our children and to help our church to be helpful people. Moms, wives, God gave you a wonderful title. It is not a demeaning title. It is not a derogatory title. It is a biblical title, and it is a holy title, and it is pleasing to Almighty God. And that is the title of helpmeet. And I want to encourage you, my sisters, wives and mothers that are present here, are you seeking to be a help to your husband? When he comes in from working and providing and doing those things, are there some things that you have offered to help your husband? To simply, as a mother and as a wife, seeking to do, to compliment him and help him in his weaknesses, because Lord knows we got a lot of them. But there's a spirit of helpfulness. Honey, how can I help you be more of a godly man? How can I be a blessing to you? And you see, it goes both ways. Now, you notice, ladies, I hit the guys first so y'all wouldn't get mad at me. But I see the idea of being helpful. Now, you know I wasn't going to forget about you, children. Children, teenagers, God expects you to be helpful. A helpful spirit, a helpful attitude. Mom, Dad, what can I help you with today? Mom, can I help with something in the kitchen? Mom, can I help with some laundry? Mom, is there a room I can vacuum for you? Mom, what can I help you with today? That goes. What about young people having a spirit of just saying, hey, can I help you? God will bless that attitude. God will bless this church for that attitude. When we get into an attitude of just being a help to one another. And that is, my dear friends, is something that God expects of us and that we can do with His power and His enablement. I'm telling you right now, when we understand that if we will let that be true in our lives, hey, we can't even comprehend what God has prepared for us, folks. For your family, for your marriage, as you have that sacrificial spirit of just being helpful, being heedful, knowing the needs that are going on, and then you're hopeful. You may be in a pickle, buddy. You may be thinking, ain't no way out of this one. Listen, you've lost hope. Do not lose hope, my dear friends, because when you lose hope, you have not lost hope in that situation. You've lost hope in God. And the Lord God is the God of hope. I trust that as we go into 2018, I trust that we will be hopeful people, heedful people, and helpful people wherever we are in life. And may God get all the glory. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful for what you've done in our church and what you are doing. Lord, I need help. We all do. But Lord, we want to trust you for the miracles this year so that you can get glory. God, would you renew our hope this morning? I may be speaking to some folks, they've lost heart. They've lost hope. Lord, help us to be heedful people, aware, attentive, what's going on around us. And dear God, please help us, make us helpful people. Lord, we'll be sure to give you the glory for whatever you do through this message. And Lord, through this invitation time, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to simply ask this question first. Is there someone here that you say, I do not have complete hope that if I were to die today, I don't have complete hope that I'm going to heaven? There's a little bit of doubt there, Pastor, if I'm honest. It's only maybe like 2 or 3%, but nevertheless, there is some doubt in my mind whether or not I'm going to heaven when I die. If you would like me to pray for you that you would get 100% hope of you, that you are on your way to heaven, would you just simply lift your hand up quickly and put it back right back down that you want that hope, okay? Put your hand down. Thank you. Thank you. Put your hand down. You say, Pastor, I have doubt in my heart and mind that I'm going to heaven. I just don't know. There's doubt. I don't have complete hope. You say, but pray for me, Pastor. Raise it up high if you haven't already, and then you can put it back down. Maybe I'm speaking to some Christians here this morning and you've lost hope. Perhaps you have found yourself being unhelpful. Maybe you're not being aware. And you say, Preacher, this morning the Holy Spirit has spoken to me and I got some decisions to make. Would you show me just by lifting up your hand as a word of testimony? God bless you. Lord bless you. You can put your hands down. God bless you. Before we go in the invitation time, folks, let's make sure that 2018 we're going through believing that God is going to do the miraculous. And that He's going to use us and He's going to help us. Especially as we're helping others.